You are a dirty dog.
I've been called so much worse than that.
All right, well, listen. Now I put the headphones on.
Yeah, put the headphones. Professionalism. We're gonna be professional. This is a serious show. This is a serious show. The whole world is listening, Emily. Come on.
The whole
world.
Okay. So the cold open.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yes.
Like, is crafted in such a way that it dovetails into the introduction.
That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal.
Okay.
Half the time, it's me usually, like, you know, insulting JB about something.
I see.
But that's not the intent.
Okay.
It just usually ends up
turning into that. Okay. Yeah. So.
And JB rolls her eyes, and then the guest starts speaking.
And she says, I can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah. She's like, I'm done with this. Can we do the interview?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go on, and she's like, I really can't go on.
You have to stop.
You have to stop.
I quit.
I can't be here anymore.
Yeah. I'm done. I'm leaving right now. I'm getting up. She's walking out of the apartment, and I'm like, well.
Well, here I am.
Here I am. Here's the
alone.
Show. Yet again. That's why I hired Emily.
I mean, and I'm have not, no
which,
ideas
by the way,
for you.
Me hiring you is comical.
You hired me for fancy coffee.
Yeah,
That's how cheap our rates are,
basically. I was like, can I make you a French press?
And
she shows up
sold.
And spends a whole day.
And I spend like a whole day once a month.
Well,
oh,
I
my
buy
God.
You salads.
You did buy me a salad.
I buy you salads.
You are very generous and very sweet.
Oh, thank you.
Marie, say her last name correctly.
Lichtenberg.
Marie Lichtenberg. No, I know. It's so bad.
You made her sound like she's like Eva Braun's cousin or something like that.
No.
It's awful.
And she doesn't deserve it because she's incredible. Say her name in the mellifluous, like, beautiful way that you do.
Marie Lichtenberg.
Gorgeous.
There you go.
We're going to leave it there. I'm not going to say her name again.
Okay.
But I'll say that you, mm-hmm. Marie, mm-hmm. myself, we had a wonderful conversation.
We had a wonderful talk.
Because she's very interesting.
She's fascinating.
And obviously, she is one of the hottest, most in-demand, fine fashion jewelry designers in the world right now.
Super talented, super innovative.
Yes.
Lovely to be around.
Yes.
We could have spoken to her all day long.
All day long.
But they had places to be.
They had places to be.
Yeah.
The husband was here.
Yes.
And he was so sweet.
And he was chiming in.
He was chiming in.
From across the room.
From across the room.
Yeah, which was something.
Yes, it was something. And then Clem, her production person.
Her head of production.
Head of production, uh-huh. who she calls a genius, was there too. And was super quiet.
Very quiet.
Which is what she was following, you know.
She was following orders. Yeah, which is good.
Yeah, which was great. She did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I mean, as a trio, they were so charming and so lovely.
So charming, so lovely. And Marie is not just, you know, incredibly talented, innovative, all of those wonderful things. Beautiful.
Ridiculous.
Breathtaking.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And so charming. And so funny.
So self-aware.
And so self-aware.
Yes.
Self-possessed.
Self-possessed. I love it.
Even
we grab the air with the possessed.
Yes, we grab the air.
And funny and, just very lovable, very likable. So
all of them.
We were super excited to chat with her.
Yeah, so.
And find out kind of her journey, because I didn't know her journey because she's somewhat new on the scene.
4.5 years, she
right,
said.
Which I know that doesn't seem like new, but for jewelry, it is.
Well,
new.
Listen, you and I both, we know people who've been in this business for 20 plus
40
years. 40 years, 30 years, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
They don't get nominated for a Gem Award.
Right, and she was nominated for a Gem Award,
so
and she was at the Gem Awards last night with her whole crew, and, you know, we talked about how the applause was crazy, it was embarrassing her, but it really was crazy.
I'm sure.
And she deserves it. She's already there.
She deserves every bit of it, you know. I'm sure the winner deserved the win.
The winner, Marla Aaron deserved the win.
But Marie would have deserved the win too.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Saying. That's my opinion.
Yes.
America.
Your opinion is not illegal. It is valid.
It is
and
valid.
Sanctioned
my feelings are
by
valid.
Myself.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you that I think the two of you got along famously.
I want to marry her.
I know. That's what you said when the door slammed. You were like, I love her and I want to marry her.
Yeah, I do.
Which doesn't surprise me because I've met her and I've been
charmed
by her.
And you also want to marry her.
And I also want to marry
and
her.
And she loves to talk about penises, and that's great.
I know.
We have so much in common. We're both European brunettes who love to talk about dicks.
I definitely felt that I was with two like very cultured Europeans who had like, you know,
had a synergy.
We were
simpatico.
You were simpatico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Lovely.
I agree.
So you guys are about to hear our interview with Marie Lichtenberg.
Yes. I hope you enjoy it. We loved it.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Thank you. So wait, did you give her a little bit of a rundown or no?
I gave her no rundown.
That's even better.
This is even better.
Yeah, it's even better. I like when they don't know anything.
It's a blind date.
Yeah.
It's
a blind date.
A surprise. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be awesome because it's all about you.
Yeah, and if it goes well, we'll all end up in my bedroom.
And if anything gets really nuts, and or if you're just like, I just can't think of what to say, we can edit it out. Yeah, if you're just like, oh, can I just take a minute? Then we can pause. Just be like, pause.
Can I puke? Because I could be like, okay, can I be sick? I'm going to be sick.
Well, we have a huge audience, so you should be a little nervous. Yeah, you should be a little bit nervous.
Oh, stop it. Okay. Okay.
No, you are beloved. And even though you've only been, just 5 years in business?
Four and a half.
Yeah. Like, your name is already so big in the U.S. I don't know how it is globally and in France. I assume that you're huge there too.
I think we are more, I think it's big in U.S. France.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have my
clients?
Yeah. But I think it got really big in U.S.
Mm. Are we taping?
Oh, we're taping.
Ah, you are such a rat.
Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah.
We're taping already. So,
yeah.
So, okay. I'm going to ask you about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Because I think that there are reasons, and I think you know the reasons for why your collection. You don't know the reasons?
I don't.
Why
have
your collections?
A clue.
Oh, I don't what really happened?
Okay, I have some ideas, okay. And we'll go later. But first, I want to say congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you so much
for this year's Gem Awards for Designer of the Year.
Thank you so
which
much.
Which is
a huge accomplishment, especially for somebody who's been in business for such a short amount of time, relatively.
Minutes.
Yeah.
For
I mean,
minutes.
Not quite 2 minutes.
Yeah,
but
to us, it seems crazy.
It's overnight. It feels that way, I'm sure.
It's really strange because we don't have that kind of awards. Comment tu appelles ça?
Award show? Or?
Yeah, it's not very French, mm-hmm. So it's very American. So when mm-hmm. we were so surprised and so happy, and I have an American PR that I love so much, Francesca.
Love.
Mm-hmm. Love her. And she called me.
Yeah.
And she was screaming so loud that I understood that something big was happening.
Was
like, what the fuck, Mary? Like, you're nominated? Sorry, I don't like, because you know it's for I'm as you know that I've been like a real stranger to the industry since I'm learning 1,000 million things a day about what's happening here.
Yes.
And so Gem Awards was
one of those things you had to learn about.
Exactly.
And did you realize that it was such a big deal that it was kind of like the Oscars for the jewelry industry?
Yesterday, yes.
Wow. And it was your first time at the awards?
It was the first time.
And how did you feel?
I felt very lucky and very, like in a kind of a, you know, when you're a bit floating, means that mm-hmm. you're not in your body really. You're like witnessing.
You're above
something
it,
like,
looking at something. Yeah.
Like what the fuck is this?
So it was like completely
it's crazy.
Surreal.
Like it's surreal and so cool and like, and I was so happy being part of this. Like it's crazy and we are like so French and so far from this. And I was with my team that I love so much, with my husband, mm-hmm. and it was like a super moment to share.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And like,
what did you think of all the fashion and kind of all the fanfare and like the people walking around and the great dresses? And
I think it's cool because we don't do it anymore in like Paris, or mm-hmm. we don't dress.
You don't dress up
anymore.
Like that?
No,
okay.
Not anymore. So it was a good occasion to buy like some very expensive
stuff.
Yes. And to put it on my company.
I love that.
Really forbidden. But.
Now, you had on sort of like a silky, incredible blazer over a dress.
Yeah, I was wearing Dries and Alaïa.
Oh, I love Dries and Alaïa. Both amazing.
So both amazing. Fantastic.
Very, very comfortable.
Okay.
Very comfortable.
Well, you looked it and you looked so chic. And
I did.
Your hubby was there and your team.
Yes.
And everybody was like, wow, the big, yay! When she was announced. And they sort of do like the sizzle reel for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maria was like, her whole crew was just like, ah! There was a big, big applause. All right, so I'll stop embarrassing you.
Yeah. Thank you. You're welcome.
She's like, I can't talk about an award show
Thank
anymore.
Thank you, Mama.
That's it. The embarrassing section is over. And I would like to say that I think that you are such a unique designer globally, but in the U.S. too. And let's go to that question that we were talking about. Why you think you've connected so well with U.S. retailers and consumers, because I think the world is a tough place right now.
Yeah.
I think we are all looking for levity. Mm-hmm. We're all looking for color. Mm-hmm. We're all looking for sort of, and for some joy and happy making accessories, things that we can put on and kind of laugh, even snicker a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Please.
And a little tongue in cheek.
A little tongue in cheek. And this is what you specialize in. Do you feel like that could have something to do with why you've connected so well with U.S. people?
I don't know. I have to admit that I'm still like so close from the...
Marie is now smushing her face next to the microphone.
I don't understand how close she is. What's happening right now. Because it's, you know, it's so intense and everything happens so fast. So I think... I'm sure about one thing is that the success of this brand for this beginning is because it was so genuine in a way, and I was so I was such a stranger to the industry, and I didn't know anything about production or designing or whatever. Like, it was not, I was not built for this, and I never studied anything about this.
You never studied? Okay, we're going to talk about your backstory.
Never, ever. So I think, how do you say that in English?
There's like an innocence.
Modern. Naivete.
But naivete, maybe. That's the word, yeah.
Naivete, and quand tu...
Ask the hub.
Non, Fred... Tu sais, mais non, quand tu es, quand tu ignorance.
Et, oh, just ignorance. Just a straight ignorance.
Like straight ignorance, and this gave us and gave me the biggest freedom ever in the way that
because
I
you
built
didn't
this, because like you, I didn't know.
You didn't know, and there was no one to impress, right?
I mean, no one, and it was not a purpose. I was not supposed to do this. So I remember like. I did the first piece, the first locket was for my daughter, Paloma. That was the starting, the cheesy starting point of the story. That's it.
Yeah.
And because I just wanted, I'm a jewelry lover, of course. My mother used to collect like very beautiful vintage jewelry. So I had that kind of taste forever. But the way I was so, I was not feeling that I was legitimate.
Legitimate.
Exactly. So I did whatever I wanted, like put some threads, like a bit of enameling. We started with 9K.
Oh, wow.
Because, like,
why not?
Why not?
Well, when
to
you
be able to play a little more.
Exactly. Yeah.
When you don't know the rules, you sort of aren't worried about breaking them.
Absolutely.
And maybe that's what gave you the freedom to be much more explorative
freedom.
With your collections
exactly.
and that sort of thing.
Let's do whatever we want.
You know, Judy Guybe. G-I-I-B.
Yeah, of course.
So she started similarly.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Yeah.
And with the older, I love.
She just started sort of hammering away at stuff.
Exactly.
And I said to her when I interviewed her a couple of years ago, I said, Judy, did you not want to do it the way that, you know, bench jewelers do it? And she looked at me and she kind of paused and she said, yeah, that's kind of right.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to learn it.
Yeah.
I wanted to discover how to do it myself.
And explore.
And if it was the wrong way, that was okay.
Yeah,
even wrong way is the best way.
Wrong way is the best way, right?
I think so.
And also there's a thousand different ways to get to where you want in jewelry.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you put your guts and everything in it, and if it's absolutely the wrong way is the best way, and it's the most beautiful way, because to succeed in something without following any rules, to me it's the biggest achievement ever.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
It's freedom.
Yeah.
So what did you do prior? Because you said this is not what you were meant to do. What do you think you were meant to do?
Yeah, I was meant to go to clubs, to meet
boys and to party and to...
Same.
We are
same.
All meant same. To do
story
this.
Story of my life.
Yes. I'm meant you to and do me this. Both.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I was much younger, and then I became a fashion editor for the Elle France and Elle International.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Then I worked there for 12 years. And then I'm...
Covering which market?
French
and, fashion.
And French, mostly French. And I used to work also for American Elle because we had like... Elle France had a special place where we produced some image for all the international...
You had sort of a hub, like an editorial
exactly,
hub.
Exactly.
I remember when they started doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
And take us a little bit further back. To us, it seems like you kind of exploded on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
It was like suddenly you were a couture.
No, man.
Francesca was like, you got to see this designer. No, you know, man. But that's obviously you had a journey. Tell us this journey. When you said you were little, you loved your mother's jewelry.
I think all started with my... I'm very lucky because I have a mother who teach me about so much things and design and everything, and she's so passionate. She was fashion... No, she was not fashion, sorry. She was artistic director for a big advertising agency.
Wow.
For years. And
she was very visual.
Visual, and yeah. She was working her ass off, but she was so passionate about jewelry that she opened a shop in the 90s, only open like 4 maybe hours on Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Like I
doing it the wrong way, right?
Completely the wrong way, and she right. closed, but she had a blast and she was so happy. And I
so
remember I really do have like very very vivid memories about this mm-hmm. with my mother. And I remember, so I told you about the nightclubs and everything and the boys. I was
yes.
very
I want to hear much more detail about that.
Yeah, we're going to circle
maybe
back.
The, yeah.
Maybe we can do that another time
yeah.
for another
course,
story.
After,
yeah. after
like,
this.
Off,
yes,
off.
Yes, yes.
And so I went, I was not a school girl. I was...
Not into grades, meaning? Like not into academics?
Not
okay,
all.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I tried, and my mother took me to Les Beaux-Arts. I was 19, and I said, no, thank you. And so I started working very early, and I was very independent, so I left very early.
Mm-hmm. Were you one of those teens who was like, I'm ready to work, I'm ready to go do
to.
Something else?
I really have to.
Yeah.
So I left very early, and... did like many jobs and working music and whatever. So and then at Elle where I learned so much stuff. But what happened is that I knew that I was creative in a way because my stories, my editorials were a bit different.
Mm.
But I felt like I was too shy and not feeling legitimate to do anything
right.
about...
Right, you feel like an imposter. You're like, okay, I can put together a page.
Like, this morning was the same. Like, never, nothing
you're
changed.
Like, it's still
like,
here.
And I'm, like, it's... I'm exactly,
well, that will never
yeah.
go away.
Yeah.
I hope so, because...
Yeah, I feel that, too.
Mm-hmm.
This fear.
And I think it's... I think the wonderful thing about satisfaction is that it's a myth. And it's like climbing the monkey bars, but it's never ending. You're going to keep going and going and going.
That's
and
so
I think
right.
that's a good impulse to have, because when you reach satisfaction,
yeah.
I don't know what you're supposed to do with that. I don't know
with
where you go from
satisfaction,
there.
Satisfaction? I think
yeah.
you just have to embrace the moment for one sec.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you have to keep doing and pushing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think satisfaction is for...
For the dead.
Oh.
I was about to say dead people.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah. It's
non,
for the
non,
dead.
Non, mais c'est vrai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know
c'est
what
vrai.
You said.
Non, mais c'est vrai. C'est vrai.
What does that
I
mean?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
C'est vrai.
That, like, c'est vrai. It's
I'm
true.
I'm going to pretend.
Yeah,
it's true.
True.
It's
speak
true.
French.
It's really something
okay, so,
like...
But then you have a job at Elle, which
yeah.
is so prestigious and interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you feel like I've
so
made
much.
A career. And this is a great career.
No, because
what made you leap? I'm so interested in leaps, by the way.
You know what?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I, this guy,
Hubby.
Hubby. Okay. Uh-huh. Because after
husband sitting very quietly on the velvet sofa.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Like, he's very well behaved.
Along with Clem, your production person.
Clem, yes, was very quiet too.
Uh-huh. They're doing a very good job.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah. Without them, I'm nothing. But what happened is that I've been working a lot, and it's a good. And but the industry was.
Was this with the magazine industry, meaning?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I felt like the Titanic.
Rickety.
Kind of but a little bit. Maybe I was a bit early. Mm. And I seen that it was over in a way. Like the way I loved doing editorials and everything, it was over.
You felt
over.
That time had ended. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. It did end.
In a way. And I was. So I went on. I'm sorry, I'm so slow, but...
No, not at all.
One day, on Christmas Day, I had this horrible...
Toothache.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oof. And I got an appointment to a dentist. Mm-hmm. So I went there, and this guy opened the door.
Uh-huh. The husband?
The husband. Mm-hmm.
And I said, He's a dentist.
Oh!
That's fantastic!
Yes. And he opened the door, and I felt like I was... Like, I was done. I was dead. Like, don't laugh. It's true.
You were done. You were dead. I'm marrying
my dentist.
Because
I need a new dentist. I hate my current one. So this is perfect.
You have a new French dentist.
First of all, the most chic French dentist the world has ever seen.
Wow. Yeah, he's really handsome.
When he walked in, I thought he was an architect.
I thought he was an artist.
Architect. Yeah. Is a kind of
there is a lot of creativity, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And also the link between, this is probably a stone too far, but the link between jewelry stuff and teeth. It's like a fine little line.
That close.
In terms of the tools, right?
It's the same.
It's almost the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
Wow.
So
when I found that out, my mind was blown.
No, but that's true, because sometimes I'm going to his office and I look at him working. And I said, he could do rings or earrings. It's exactly the same.
After he finishes, you can hand him jewelry to polish.
Exactly. And, mm-hmm. Exactly. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
That's so great.
I felt so in love. I was married before. I had a little girl, Paloma, and I left everything.
So you've already been married. You already had a different career. Can I ask how old you are? Because you look like a baby.
Yeah,
I'm 30.
I'm 42.
Oh, I would have never guessed.
Never guessed.
No, because
Oh, okay. Well, that helps.
French. No, there's no way. There's nothing with the
French.
She was
making a needle gesture. Gestures. I love it too.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, I'm tempted. I know.
How old are you?
34.
He's a baby. I know. He's just going to maintain and always look fabulous.
Yes.
I hope.
Yeah.
You will. For sure. For sure.
I think he will.
For sure.
Yes. Okay. And so you made the leap.
And I left everything.
And you left.
I left my... Oui.
Yeah.
Quoi?
Husband.
Qu'est-ce qui se passe?
Oh. Alain, you speak French?
A little bit.
A little bit.
No. Okay. And I left my...
The first iteration of your life. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And I left everything. And mm-hmm. I just asked myself, okay, you left everything, your apartment, your ex-life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Your everything. What do you want to do? You're trying your best to be happy. What would be
what's the ultimate?
Ultimate happiness that you can reach in your life.
Did you have to think finances and all of that of be course. Damned.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, you have to just sort of...
I quit.
Yeah.
And be
you quit
a journalist.
Your job completely and then...
Completely. Mm-hmm. And wow. I got pregnant very, very fast.
Oh.
And from my baby Jacques and...
How many children do you have?
Two. Paloma and Jacques. And then I needed to do something because I was... Since I was maybe 17, I was working mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. and everything stopped. So.
It's a disorienting feeling.
I was so. Yeah.
The husband is chiming in.
What did he say?
If I may.
Uh huh.
What?
She was looking for herself.
She was looking for herself.
She was looking for herself.
All right, I want you to tell that story too.
Yeah, yeah.
Bisous. Tell it into the mic. Now that he's refreshed you.
Okay. Yeah. Merci beaucoup. Okay, what happened? So I was looking for myself and everything.
You are so funny. I was looking for myself.
And I was so pregnant and so, and I was so depressed. So I was like, fuck. What?
Because you were not doing anything. And you didn't know where things were going.
No. I was like completely lost, but that was really helpful.
How old were you when that happened to you?
6 years ago.
Okay.
6 years ago. And what happened is that I was pregnant. So I went once in India. I just launched. No, what happened? No. I'm sorry. What happened? I was crying. Mm. On my sofa, very pregnant. And my husband told me, like, I can't stand it anymore. Let me book a ticket right now. Baby, you're leaving for India.
Oh, my
gosh. Because I was already doing, like, few stuff, but I was doing embroidery garments and, like, very special pieces for princess and everything. And I was working with the Gem Palace. They were doing all my buttons and everything. So
you already had the connections.
Yeah, but like nothing, but something to...
To mull over. To,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I took my plane.
You went to India.
I went to India. Okay. Mm-hmm. I took my plane and I just tried to launch like two pieces, like the Love You to the Moon and Back lockets and the Bonheur locket. I came back. And I got sick with my pregnancy, so I couldn't
work
anymore.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I got my baby. Once again, my husband came, like, give me the baby. This is the ticket for India. You go back.
Wow.
So he took care of the children. That's huge.
This is amazing.
I mean, it was not possible doing this, like, without him. He said, okay, I get you back. Give me the babies. Because Paloma was very small also. So, and he took care about everything. I went to India. I think I ordered for like 40 pieces of nine carat lockets. I came back. I think I posted something on my personal account.
Instagram.
Yeah. And we sold out in 2 days.
Wow. These were the beginning of the love lockets?
And no clue about, like, I didn't even know how to
how
invoice.
You're
going to
make more. Yeah.
I don't know how. I still remember, like, the day I posted, like, et voilà, bisous, ciao. Like, no clue that it could, like, be something so big. And that was the very beginning of the story. And I was working from my toilet for like 2 months, hiding from my children.
Oh yeah, when you lock yourself into the toilet.
Yes.
It's a tale as old as time.
You know this. Like,
I do know.
Like, so it starts like this.
I hope I never have to learn.
You will never know this.
You don't know.
No, you do.
Or like big toilets, you have to make like sure that you have like a fridge or something in it. Like,
yes.
You need a bassinet, put them in.
Absolutely. And so, okay, but this is interesting to me because you felt like you had a style when you were at Elle. You felt like maybe you had a visual sensibility that was maybe a little different, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't trust it. Like, you didn't fully trust it. It took someone who you loved, is that right? To sort of say, this is for you.
It took to be like, to don't have nothing to lose.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, and might as well try it.
Exactly. And to be like, comment tu dis, dos au mur, to be totally like, I was so helpless. So helpless and so desperate. Being completely myself, that I needed to, and to be very precise, I designed, 10 years ago, I designed a collection of earrings and everything, and I never find the money to do it.
It
was like
it had
like
been
a
percolating
dream.
For a long time.
But sometimes you just don't want to
take the leap.
Yeah, and you don't, and you need to dream and make things like so, like it's really a big deal.
Yeah.
It's really, really serious. It's not it's really
not to be taken lightly, right? Not to sort of like move into this, especially because jewelry is not an inexpensive thing to experiment with.
It's a rich. You need to be very rich or very smart.
Or you have to have investors or you need to have funding of some sort.
And that's my thing, is that we are still independent. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing for now, because maybe we're going to shift to something else. And I don't know, but being independent in this industry is when you want to grow and when you're embracing some kind of success is really complicated. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Because you have to, the condition you sell your jewelry, especially in US, some people are asking for consignment or that kind of thing we like.
Her face is like, no,
you need some money to create stuff. Right. So, or you're going to die and it's like this.
But,
so you have to make a lot of money to produce, to go fast. And also what we faced some kind of very big counterfeit problems also.
Yes, you do in particular.
Well, I recently learned that you are, what, one of the most copied designers in the industry, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
Which is wild.
That's wild. Yeah. But when... It's the most amazing news because when you have money, when you started, it's horrible. I was crying so hard because I really
felt... You start and people are like knocking you off left and right.
I mean, like you, it was in Peru or even in coffee shop in Thailand.
Oh,
so
really?
One of my friends was getting a latte and croissant in the morning and had like some lockets on the... like. In the middle of the croissant, like what the fuck?
And but
it's great because now I must admit something. When we don't see counterfeits coming on some of the new pieces, sometimes we are like, shit, maybe I did something wrong. It's not good enough.
I love that. You're like not good enough to knock off, huh?
Yes. Yeah. No, but that's but
yeah.
You need a lot of money being able to handle it and to go and to push.
I would not always agree that imitation is flattery. I don't think if I were in your position that I'd be looking forward to, you know, being copied by anybody. Because it's also a headache that you have to deal with on a regular basis.
But it pushed you.
Yeah.
Maybe if counterfeit was not there, maybe I would still be in my toilet, like, bidding.
Mm. I hope not in your toilet.
Yeah,
maybe
with the door closed.
I made me move to the
den,
the salon or whatever, or the room, the bedroom. But still, it pushed us so badly. So it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Do you pursue the counterfeiters?
Yeah, of course.
You do. You go aggressive.
So you.
I'm less aggressive with my husband thanks to the counterfeit because I'm all about.
Wow.
You know,
you can channel your anger
exactly
into people ripping you off.
So
wow.
I'm really. It's I do.
Good for you. Good for you.
It's.
You have to, or it runs rampant, right? I mean, it just sort of spreads.
Spreading.
Yeah, and the you can't stop.
No. So are you pursuing every single individual litigiously? You go after everybody that you can? Or do you handle something like that? How do you even organize something like that? If there are so many numerous sort of copycats, how do you...
You do the cease and desist.
Yeah.
I do have scary letters.
Like, so scary letters.
I love scary letters, yeah.
Actually, they don't really give a fuck about this. It's like, it's you have to... I have a very good attorney.
Yeah,
attorney. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's really special. And she's from, you know, Corsica?
Corsica.
Like very tough.
She's Corsican.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
Okay.
Corsican, like, you don't want to...
She's like, no nonsense. Yeah.
Like Letitia Casta.
Exactly.
Oh,
bravo.
Is she?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
She's Corsican.
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
So she's a badass. Mm-hmm. And she's like, she
calls up and is scary.
Over, like, all the time, every day. And we have someone in-house now who's doing all the, it takes a lot of time to build all the files and everything. Like it's a,
I'd imagine, it, yeah.
No, it's an headache. But it's, but that's the way it's, we need to do it. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's part of the business like, now, yeah. Right? Yeah.
This is completely off topic. That's great. It has nothing to do with anything.
All right, go for it.
I can't stop looking at Marie, and I keep thinking, well, she's a very beautiful woman, and I keep thinking,
beautiful. Yes.
Thank I keep you. Thinking, who does she remind me of? She's like a younger, prettier Juliette Binoche.
Oh.
Have you ever gotten that before?
Maybe once.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, la la.
Anyway, yeah. That had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. I know. She is so lovely. And she's, and you're like in your natural. You're like no makeup, it looks like. No, do you have no makeup? Yeah.
It's pouring outside.
But I still did makeup because I was like, I'm not going to.
She was blow drying. Like, she was blow drying my bangs in my bathroom.
I did, right before you walked in.
I should have tried.
You look fantastic.
You look wonderful.
And you have an incredible dice. Is that a gold or a platinum or what is that?
No, it's good. Gold.
Oh, okay. So I do want to talk about how innovative you are as a designer.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? I mean, you just to describe for people, can you describe the wedding rings that open?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Will You Marry Me ring. I always thought like big diamonds, even if I love those, were a bit like too classic for me and a bit tacky sometimes. And
our
France,
audience is going to love hearing that. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to love that.
Yeah, for sure.
All these people listening with their big tacky diamonds.
Yes, but I love
But can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Growing up in Europe, I find a lot of American engagement rings really tacky too.
Oh, I know.
Because
I know.
They're huge and gaudy, and that's just not something that we do where I'm
they
from.
Do,
either,
but
so.
I love it, but it's like, I think it's cultural. It's something very special.
It is.
And as a French woman, and especially French Parisian woman from Saint-Germain-des-Prés, we have something very specific in our in the way that we are raised. Means that you have a very strong education, but with a twist. I mean that it can be like Nadine de Rothschild with Gilles de la Tourette. It's like... means that you have to twist all the very
like established.
Exactly. And this ring is about this. It's a big.
You have to tweak the established.
Exactly.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But with a beautiful know-how, with like in a very respectful way, because our craftsmanship is very beautiful and
very substantial too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so this ring is about like she's the big sister of the Dick in the Box.
Yes.
So
okay. So the Dick in the Box. Do you know about this?
I know that this is like an SNL.
This
thing.
Is an SNL
yeah.
thing.
So yeah.
And Marie made one.
We made come on to do a safe kind of safe.
Yeah,
ring.
Like
uh-huh.
a
like a
little
lock box.
A lock box.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Chunky ring with a dick. Inside.
Oh, I love
but
that.
It's a diamond dick.
Diamond dick, beautiful. It was like 3 years ago.
I'm sure it's gorgeous.
It is.
It's beautiful because it's all gaudron. You have beautiful sapphire.
Mm. Oh, it's so beautiful.
The diamond cutting is quite interesting. And
so you're wearing a ring that is like sort of a flat box.
Exactly.
That's etched in like gorgeous,
Gaudron, like this, all handmade. Mm-hmm.
And then you flip it open and there is the dick in the box.
The dick in the box.
And it pops
so
out.
So cool.
It could.
I mean,
that's a good input for the
maybe
next collection.
That's the next iteration.
It just comes out.
It comes out to you. And now
not unlike real life.
Exactly.
No,
yeah.
But maybe.
Yeah. On occasion.
Let me work on it.
You work on that and then call me.
Okay.
But now we have a record that
exactly.
I get a cut.
You are the first.
I get my 5%.
Yeah, you have the 5%. Let's go to 10.
Deal.
Oh, handshake. Hands were shut.
Handshake deal.
Yeah. Okay, so, but that, and so, yes, tell me.
And this is the same kind of, that was the same feeling for this engagement ring. Like
it opens up and it says, will you marry me?
With like a huge, beautiful a diamond ring that I love so much.
I thought she was
going
to say penis again.
Not again. Just
not again.
One.
Okay.
One penis.
Just clarifying.
And so... That's my way of doing, like, it's, there's no, why should we hide like such a beautiful diamond in a box. It's mm-hmm. a nonsense, right. but that's exactly the kind of nonsense I love.
That you enjoy.
Yeah. yeah.
Like mm-hmm. why?
There's
like,
a kind of comedy in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Comedy.
And that's what I want to ask you about. So many of your pieces are just hilarious mm-hmm. and yeah. also elegant and gorgeous. And are you funny? Like, do you feel like, are you, you know what I mean? Like, are you somebody who is like, just do you relish that humor?
I mean,
you
must.
Oh, you're super
yeah.
funny.
Yeah,
right. But you know what funny. I mean? Like, is that sort of a big part of your personality that you love to laugh or that, you know, you're attracted to people with a sense of humor.
I want to meet the person who says, no, I hate to
no,
laugh.
No, I hate to laugh.
I just hate it.
You know what I'm getting out.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I think I'm so sensitive.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So sensitive that it's my way, like, this sense of humor is my only way to survive to this crazy world, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really like, and it's a really... I'm from an Ashkenazi family, uh-huh, and uh-huh. that's something
that's
we have
thing.
Also.
My grandma, Bosnian, lived through World War II, lived through genocide in Bosnia. Yeah. She always said to us our whole life, we have to laugh or else we would just cry. Yeah.
Of course.
That's what yeah. we have
that's
to do.
That's so true. Yeah. That's yeah. Like, It's a way of, yes.
Of coping and dealing and loving life. And
just,
yeah.
just surviving, like, first. Yes. Like, even, like, I think in this moment, the world is so crazy that yeah. just surviving is a fucking victory.
Yeah. So, yes. Agreed.
That's yeah. true.
So if it just gave you a bit input and something, like, just put a smile on you.
Yeah.
To me, it's like... It's perfect.
But you get to do that twofold. You get to do it by one, you know, jewelry as a precious gift from
sure.
a loved one.
Of course.
In all likelihood. So there's that element, but then there's also the
yeah,
element of sort of humor and
of
you have that sort of lightness and that sensibility in there
of
too.
Course.
So it's like a twofold
yeah.
kind
totally,
of gift.
Totally.
Mm. Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
At Couture,
yeah.
where you and I first met, the Couture yeah. show in Las
mm-hmm.
Vegas,
mm-hmm.
you had your famous eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you a quick anecdote about that.
Tell me.
Because I had, I don't know if Francesca told you, your PR person, but I took a video. You were like, I'm ready. I'm like, let's do a little quick video. And so I took the video and you are ebullient and energetic and so fun. And I'm like, the whole time, like, like it's a very obnoxious video with me laughing and you trying to show me jewelry when I'm, I don't know, I just was in a weird mood or something. But anyways, you showed me this incredible eight ball that you made,
mm-hmm.
which is a functioning eight ball.
Okay.
In what carat gold?
So you can shake it. It's
18.
Like a traditional
yeah. 18
ball.
Carat gold.
It's a real collab with Mattel.
Oh, it's an actual collab with Mattel.
Yeah, yes. they made for us the micro hydraulic system
for
this size uh-huh. of
Alana, it's incredible.
I have to see this.
And I posted it on my Instagram.
Mm.
Instagram took it and did something magical with it. The next morning, I had 3,000 additional followers.
May give it some to me. Like, I want 10% of it.
I had
you
3,000.
Her 10%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have,
yeah.
Like,
yes. yeah, like,
I have a little
shake
sleepy
my hand.
Instagram.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank
you. So I thank you so much. But also, I couldn't believe it.
That's
but
wild.
But then I really,
so wait,
that now I believe it because
the
it's
thing
such
is made
an exciting,
of gold.
It's gold.
It's
precious.
Solid gold.
It's solid gold.
Tell
and
about it.
You have three versions. You have 18 carats gold and diamonds, and you have a full enameled and gold version that I love so much. And those pieces are...
And then, but it's got the liquid inside, and it's
yeah,
got the little
yeah,
pyramid
yeah, like,
inside and everything.
Oh, yeah, you get your answer. Like, it's a magic eight ball in a...
It's the real deal.
I'm
it's
showing
the
Alon the
Yeah, I'm
post.
Looking at it now. You keep talking.
Yeah. I mean, I had a little sleepy Instagram until you came along with your eight ball,
oh
your,
my
which
God.
Was like truly magic.
Well, you know
so
what?
So thank you.
It's
but it was you. It was really, it was the eight ball and it was the ingenuity of that. But it was also your awesome personality.
But it's also
no,
beautiful,
just
by the
it's
way.
Beautiful.
And
I'm
a
it's also beautiful.
It's, yeah, it's...
Because I, yeah. you know, I...
it's not a toy. It's a toy, but it's a beautiful
but it's
toy.
It's
not
a beautiful
yeah.
toy.
It's a forever
it's
toy.
I mean, this is gorgeous, and the craftsmanship on that is incredible.
Mm. We have a green version also of it.
It's stunning.
I used to have, like, a very beautiful manicure at this time.
You did have a beautiful manicure.
You did,
Look at all the color on at her booth.
Beautiful.
Talk to me about color. You're not afraid. You love it bold.
Yeah. That's why she's here in black and gray.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why you came in colorless diamonds.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I'm trying to be a bit more adult in my...
Are you trying to be... what's the quiet luxury?
Oh, don't say that word.
No, I'm saying it.
Quiet
luxury.
I hate this so much.
No, I'm fucked.
I hate this so much.
Like loud luxury.
Yeah, maximalism.
You are maximalism.
I love
luxury.
Maximalism. I okay. hate quiet luxury. Okay. It's such bullshit. It's just Americans trying to look like old money. It's so stupid.
It's Americans trying to look like old moneyed Europeans.
Exactly. It's so dumb. And Americans, of all people, should be rejecting this.
Right.
Of all people, Americans should be saying that is so stupid. We're not going to do that.
Well, why are we indulging?
Yeah,
but we should be loud. We should just be loud and logoed and stuff. No, we don't
Americans
want that.
Should be not embracing of like the blue bloods and upper classes, especially
right.
of foreign countries.
It shouldn't
countries.
Be an aspiration.
That should not be
right. You should not want to dress like an oligarch.
You should not look like an oligarch okay. or aspire to look like an oligarch.
I'm with that.
Yeah,
I hear that.
Have you noticed that like the world is going reverse?
Of
so,
course,
like
it
that's
is.
Really, really. Strong,
I'm just saying it should not be that way, but it is. Not. Yeah. It's so stupid. Mm-hmm. I hate it so much.
Okay, so tell me about color. I'm curious about it. How do you pick it? How do you design it? Oh, before we talk about that, how do you come up with new designs? Does it start in your head with you like lying down?
She's on the toilet.
She's on the toilet? Or is it pen and paper?
Okay,
now we're going to give you
okay,
space.
Okay, it's a journey. No, okay. You're not ready for this. I have like, no, because I'm very bad. I don't know how to draw.
Uh-huh. Okay.
When I have a good idea, like Clémentine in my bag, she knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. When I have a big...
Clémentine just looked like she has no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Like the way I'm drawing. Drawing?
Drawing.
No, we got it.
Like I hold a pencil.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So most part of the time it's on post-its.
Okay.
Post-its. Okay.
Yes, when it's post-it, sometimes like we get a bit excited because we think that it's a good idea. Then it's not in my hands anymore because I need
like,
someone to help to you. Like, yeah, no, but like I really don't know how to do this. But I'm lucky enough to have a lot of ideas that I'm not proud of it. Like it's I've been.
You're full of ideas.
I'm full of ideas. Okay. It's not even like, but I don't know how to craft. I don't know, like, I'm only ideas.
That's great.
Yeah, that's the most important element. Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I'm not sure.
You really?
In this industry, I'm not sure.
What do you think
Why
it is?
Why do you say that?
Yeah.
Because it gets a village to build a collection and to be able to have a real business around jewelry. Having an idea is like... The least you can do.
You feel like that's the germ.
That's the germ. And then the whole journey to have your finished like egg bowl or whatever, or the kind of box or whatever. Like this is, to me, this is the real deal. Like having ideas is like, it's the least you can do when you're a designer.
Yes.
Like it's easy for me. Like I dream about it at night. It's easy. You know, it's like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Marie.
It depends.
Because ideas, I think really good idea people are very rare.
Because here's I think the point that I would make, I think especially in the market here in New York, we know how many rich white ladies do we know with wealthy husbands or trust funds or something else who can buy a business tomorrow, right? Who can buy a team tomorrow. They don't have good ideas.
They don't have good ideas.
And those businesses don't turn into anything because they don't have good ideas.
True.
But they have funds.
Yeah.
And they can throw PR and all the money at it that they want.
True,
they can hire the best people.
Of course.
But it goes nowhere. It becomes a money pit because the ideas are bad.
Or commonplace.
Or commonplace. Yeah. And we see them everywhere. Do you know
understand.
What I'm saying?
Of course.
So that's the driving machinery behind everything else, you know?
Of course. I think
I get your meaning. It is really a village.
But it is a team effort, of course.
It's a team effort. And you have to convince your own team also that it's a good idea and you need to put some energy and to take all of them with you in like doing fucking
you have to be
dig
on the,
in
yeah.
the box.
Yes.
Like, and they have to feel excited.
Like, you're like, let's do dig in a box. Yeah.
What? Like, it's nonsense.
I want to know about the people who buy dick in a box. Like, is this a specific type
me
of
next.
Woman?
I would buy that in a heartbeat.
Like, somebody with just a great sense of humor, right?
Great sense of humor, obviously. A bit of money also. And the combination of the
Of the two
is to me is magic because I think
money
really,
and humor.
Yeah, yes. No, of course.
That
and
is
I think
the magical duo.
That is magic.
To me, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when you have money, you're like, obviously people who are having how jewelry, they already have everything because it's a nonsense buying like a magic 8-ball $30,000 if you don't already have a Cartier or whatever.
Yes.
Kind of your basic
so,
daily
yeah,
stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So this is, it's not a target, but this is the people we're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just let's have fun and let's push this.
Amazing.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Like, very far.
That's so
great. Do you ever worry about sort of the high-risk proposition of designs like that? I'm
of
sure
the
you
what?
Must. The kind of high-risk proposition of a design like that or an idea like that. Oh, no, you're just like, we're doing it. Like we don't care.
I'm very concerned about the commercial proposition that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm very confident about the crazy stuff, but regarding oops and only like diamond
you worry
pendants,
about that.
Like I'm super worried about that.
Ah,
because
interesting.
Because I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my and, but it's part of the business.
Yes,
like you can't. Maybe we'll do one day, but you know, as like I really don't consider myself as a designer. For me, I'm still a student. Like I really have that feeling of. Like, I'm starting, like, Les Beaux-Arts in Paris, and this is my learning curve. Like, I'm not,
but
like
I think that that's exactly what makes you a designer.
Maybe,
because
I
that this
know.
Position is what every great designer has.
I don't
sort
know.
Of forever student, forever learning, forever for sort of
leaping,
trying,
forever
leaping.
Leaping.
And trying new things and experimenting and being fearless in your approach.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's, I think that's the only way you can possibly succeed in a business like this. Mm-hmm. You can't do it sort of being too buttoned up.
No.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
You have
do
to
you have
unleash
something you do.
Inside of you.
I think so.
For sure.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree. Do you have a really tight production and sort of team now? Like, and the goldsmiths and the people that you work with. And is that, I've heard from designers that that's sort of the key to everything, is finding the craftspeople that you trust and that you want to work with.
Oh, wait, that's the key. And, and this is the very, I think to me, it's very linked to, or this is a good topic because when you're a young, independent brand and you are battling like against LVMH or whatever or Cartier, like you have no chance.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
to get into the best.
And in
workshops.
Paris, you are amongst like all the great heritage brands.
No, we have
like
it's Place Vendôme. Like it's there's no room for that kind of newness and so we are so lucky because now I think we might have 7 different workshops we're working with.
Oh, wow.
In Italy and in Thailand also. A bit of India still. We still, it's very important for us. But I think that we also pushed our design so far to seduce those guys.
Oh.
Because
they get excited about working on
exactly.
on crazy pieces.
On crazy pieces.
So they'll make the time to do your
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like
and
the person who made the dick in the box had the best day ever.
Don't tell my husband. I'm in love. He's 75.
He's 75?
Gianni.
Sounds hot.
Gianni.
Sounds
hot.
Really hot.
No, but this guy, like, he's working. He's been working for the most beautiful brand, Italian brand, like Bulgari and everything. He's doing, like, crazy stuff. And I remember bringing him the dick diamond.
So where'd you pick up the dick diamond?
In New York.
Okay, love
perfect.
It.
Yeah,
New York. That makes
where
sense.
Else would
that makes
you
sense.
Find it?
Right.
And you know, the discussion we had, I'm sorry, but about how we're going to set the balls in the, like, and it changed everything. It changed everything with Jenny because Jenny was like, like he's dealing with Bulgari, with Buccellati all day long. Like it's
set in classic, beautiful pieces.
Beautiful pieces. But there's no room for that for us. We don't have money at the beginning. We don't like.
And you don't make those kinds of pieces.
No.
Yeah.
And we are beginners, so we needed to seduce all those people and to
Did you know that instinctively, or did someone tell you that?
No,
it's
You just learned it.
We know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you could see the light in their eyes when you were like, "Let's do this." Like,
I want him. I don't know how, but let's find a way.
Find a great design.
Those pieces is making art just to like the most exquisite and incredible. And it, I think, the design opened the door of the best atelier that we're working with now.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
And they've been, and they helped us a lot.
Okay,
I think
they advocated for you after they
made
these
a room
pieces
for
with you.
Us. They made a room.
That's
like,
incredible.
Okay.
That's
speaking
incredible.
About Paris, I'm always curious. Give us a little primer on the Parisian jewelry scene in terms of independent designers. Is it a crowded market? Are you guys competitive? Is there community there?
Because in New York, it's huge.
Huge.
The independent jewelry market.
Yeah.
It's massive.
And it seems very friendly.
Well.
I mean, competitive.
Depends on who you talk to.
But friendly.
Yeah.
But what is it like amongst independent jewelry designers in Paris? Is it, oh my God, what is
she's
the look?
She's got tea.
She's like, it's bad.
She's like, I hate those cunts. Is what she's to say. She did not say that. Marie did not say that.
No. She's smiling and laughing.
I think French people are so... They have a very... I'm so sorry because I'm so French.
You're in America. Like, you don't have to apologize right now. You can apologize when you
after,
go home.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is a very competitive market in France. Mm-hmm. And we are not very... We are...
Not very collegial.
I think when we are all of us in couture, like we are all together.
Yes.
But back in Paris...
Yeah, free for all. Bloodbath.
Like
bloodbath.
Bloodbath. I don't really know, but you know, and that's what I love, and I think you really have this in America, is that people get excited for you.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
I see this all the time. Because
was that strange for you too?
A 1,000%. Growing up in Germany, I knew I could never have.
You were.
I grew up in Germany. I'm Bosnian, but I grew up in Germany.
Okay.
I knew I could never have the business that I have now here. At 34, to have already shot like a global campaign for Sotheby's, to work with brands like that would that would never happen back home.
Never.
And you know that would especially not happen to a Bosnian immigrant back home.
Not at all.
Never in a million years. But here, people have cheered me on and helped me to get to that place.
It changed everything.
It completely. Mm. And you know, for all that is wrong with America,
yes,
that is one of the great things about this country.
One
and that's why I love living here.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember you know, when you are in your office in Paris, like, you are creating things through the prism of a Parisian vibe.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice that my vision was so...
Narrow.
In a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I only say that because her hands were narrowing.
Yes.
Because I wanted to...
I don't think your vision
is
narrow.
I was thinking about the French market also.
Okay.
And I remember the slap I took in my face when I arrived for the first couture.
Not a literal slap, I heard.
Like, no.
And that was so great the way she said that. I remember the slap that I took in my face. I love that.
I
so
much.
No, but you know what? It really was the greatest gift I received in the very beginning of this career. Like, Marie, you can push it so far.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Like, people were looking at my line sheet and they were like, it's not expensive. I was like, what the fuck? Like, what? Because in Paris, I'm sorry, Parisian people. I love you from the bottom of my heart.
We all love the people
love
of
you.
Paris.
Yes,
we love them all.
Everything is like complicated, too expensive, too like, it's like here.
That's the continental attitude
exactly.
Everywhere.
But
yes.
For jewelry,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you can't be, if you want to do something a bit different, you have to.
Yes.
To push.
You have to push hard.
And US gave me this opportunity to do like, go girl.
Yes.
I love that.
Go girl. And that's what I received from
5 minutes.
Ah, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Et voilà.
I don't know what you guys are saying.
So.
Yeah.
I love it. So one last question before we let you go. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
What do you like to do for fun? Like, what do you do when you're not doing jewelry? Or is it 24/7? What?
She has
you're
no
parenting?
Are you crazy?
You're parenting.
Are you mad?
Yeah. No, that's it.
It's like,
yeah, yeah. Are you still embroidering? I embroider.
Oh, what?
I do.
What?
I love it.
What do you do?
That was my accent for that. I embroider.
I know, I don't.
But didn't you do that before? No, you're like, no, I can't
do that. Not myself, as I told you, like, I don't have any skills with my hands. No skills at all. But
oh my gosh.
But
you're the idea gal, which is so amazing.
No, but there's something very important. So, two little children.
Yes.
A very supportive husband, right? But this business.
Yeah.
We are producing like in Italy, so Europe, Thailand. Our biggest market is US. So means that we need to work 24 hours a day.
To accommodate all those timelines.
Wow. Because requests are coming in 24 hours a day.
Yes. We're working a lot.
Okay.
And because it's now, it won't be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the chance is
here.
You're seizing it. Good for you.
Yeah, it's now. So the fun, I think the fun part is being able to travel together.
Yep.
All together. We built, to me, I'm so proud of the team that we made and we built, because I do think that we love each other so much.
Aww.
We are 12 people.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Uh-huh.
But it's, we all feel like students, and even if I have like true fucking beautiful talents, because I didn't know what I was doing. So at some point you need to surrender yourself
to
people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
Yes.
And I have the most amazing people around me. So I think the blast is exactly there.
Uh-huh. That's so great.
And this business, I think there's my children, of course, but they are participating a lot to this also. It's like, you know,
it's a family business.
It's a family business.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yes.
So
I love to hear that.
I know you're not satisfied, and I hope you never will be.
I will
be.
Never be.
Yeah.
But are you happy now?
Now?
Yes.
Like
in this
today?
Moment.
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. Good. But tomorrow morning,
you will
let
not
me.
Be.
No, I have a problem with Sunday nights.
Ah,
every
okay.
Sunday it's over.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know it's like the business is over. I don't know. It's like a kind of a crazy stuff.
Sunday night?
Uh-huh.
Like it's a
you
nightmare.
Get the Sunday night blues. You know that's a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, Sunday
yeah,
night.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. But every Sunday night it's over.
Mm.
It's finished. So, and I'm dreaming of people queuing just in front of my door, like, we want to be, we want a refund.
They want a refund. This is not the dick in the box that we asked for.
No. So it's not.
Oh, that's
her,
terrible.
That's her
you.
Nightmare.
Yeah. It's you feeling like it's you fearing that you're losing
of
something.
Course,
yeah.
Of
because
course.
You've built something that you value greatly.
And
obviously.
In a very intense way. So I hope that we're going to settle.
I don't think you're going to settle because you
I think
are
it's only
so
get
on fire.
Bigger and bigger
from
here on out. I think it will.
Yeah.
And I will say to you, I think designers who do the kind of work that you do, you don't only do incredibly innovative work and it benefits your business. When people like you are part of the market and you're selling and you have an audience, you benefit the entire industry.
You push
because
the
you're
industry
pushing
forward. Yeah.
Everybody else forward. Because they now have to compete with you.
Well said, Alan. That's exactly right.
So that's how I feel
you're
about
good.
Marie.
Oh,
like,
he's
I like,
so
I'm
good.
About to cry.
Oh,
like,
it's true.
You.
It's true,
thank
and
you.
I mean
it
that.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Marie, we are
merci
so
beaucoup.
Lucky to have had you here.
Yes.
Thank you so
merci.
Much for joining
so much
us.
For
thank you so
by.
Much.
You. I hope you'll come back.
Yeah, but I stay here. I won't come. I won't. I don't
you're
leave
in my apartment.
I don't.
Yeah,
leave.
We're gonna
I'm
have to
leaving.
Talk about
okay.
that. We're gonna have
I
a
would
conversation.
I would pay a part of
that.
Okay, don't worry.
You gotta pay something.
Yes, okay.
You're
okay,
give
okay
me
I'm good.
I
love spending money. Don't worry.
The 10% from the ring. I'll take that. Yeah.
Amazing.
That's
we adore
fine.
You. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so
much.
So much.
All right.
Thank you.
This has been Rough Cut.
Bye. This has been Rough Cut.
I'm Alan Simic.
I'm Emily Vasseland.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.